Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9R Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Capital Volume 2 is Karl Marx's continuation of his major critique of political economy presented in the Penguin Classics edition. While Volume 1 concentrates on production and the extraction of surplus value, this volume shifts attention to circulation, the movement of commodities and money, and the ongoing reproduction of capitalist society. Marx examines how capital must constantly complete a circuit, transforming from money into productive inputs, into commodities, and back into money again, and how disruptions in this motion create strain and crisis. The book is known for its detailed analysis of turnover time, inventories, transport, credit, and the interdependence of departments that produce means of production and consumer goods. Edited after Marx's death by Friedrich Engels, it reads as both theoretical argument and working analysis of capitalism's operational anatomy. For readers, it offers a framework for understanding why growth can coincide with instability and why the everyday mechanics of business cycles are tied to deeper social relations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the circuits of capital and why movement matters. A central contribution of Volume 2 is its focus on capital as motion rather than as a static pile of assets. Marx distinguishes different forms and paths in which capital circulates, emphasizing that money capital, productive capital, and commodity capital are not separate things but phases of a single process. The point is practical as well as theoretical. Capital only functions as capital if it can regularly transform from one form into another. A firm must advance money to buy labor power and inputs, bring production to completion, sell output, and recover money with a surplus. Any interruption in buying, producing, or selling threatens reproduction of the business and can ripple outward through suppliers, workers, and creditors. By analyzing these circuits, Marx highlights how capitalism depends on synchronized market exchanges, reliable payment systems, and predictable access to inputs and outlets. This approach clarifies why profitability cannot be understood solely inside the factory. Realization of value in the market and the timing of sales are just as decisive. The circuit perspective also helps readers connect everyday phenomena like slow sales, cash flow problems, and credit tightening to the systemic requirements of capital's continuous metamorphosis. Secondly, turnover time, fixed capital, and the hidden cost of waiting, Volume 2 develops a detailed account of turnover, the time it takes for advanced capital to complete its cycle and return in monetary form. Marx shows that turnover time is not an incidental detail, but a determinant of annual profit rates and accumulation. The same amount of capital can generate different outcomes depending on how quickly it turns over, because faster turnover allows the same funds to be advanced and recovered multiple times within a year. This leads Marx to examine factors that speed up or slow down turnover, including production time, circulation time, transport, storage, and the organization of supply chains. He also differentiates between circulating capital, such as raw materials and wages that reappear fully in the value of output, and fixed capital, such as machinery and buildings that transfer value gradually over multiple production cycles. This distinction matters for investment, depreciation, maintenance, and the timing of replacement. The analysis brings into view how technical change can shorten socially necessary labor time while also creating new vulnerabilities, such as large sunk costs, capacity constraints, and dependence on steady throughput. Readers gain tools to interpret why capital-intensive industries often obsess over utilization rates, logistics, and inventory management. Thirdly, simple and expanded reproduction of the whole system, moving from individual firms to the economy as a whole, Marx introduces reproduction schemes to analyze how capitalist production must continually renew itself. He separates simple reproduction, where the system reproduces at the same scale, from expanded reproduction, where part of surplus value is accumulated and reinvested, enabling growth. The key insight is that social reproduction requires proportional relations between broad sectors, notably a department producing means of production and a department producing consumption goods. If these interdependencies break down, inventories build up, shortages appear elsewhere, and crisis pressures emerge. Marx's framework is not a forecasting model, but a way of reasoning about systemic constraints. Outputs of one sector must find buyers in another sector, and money flows must align with real flows of goods. This perspective clarifies why economic expansion is not merely a matter of producing more, but of coordinating investment, wages, consumption, and inter-industry demand. It also shows why imbalances can occur even when each firm behaves rationally from its own viewpoint. For modern readers, the reproduction analysis offers a lens for thinking about structural change, industrial policy, and why growth episodes can be accompanied by bottlenecks, excess capacity, and financial stress. Fourthly, money, credit, and the separation of buying and selling. Marx devotes substantial attention to the monetary mechanisms that allow capitalist circulation to proceed, and to the tensions these mechanisms introduce. Money does more than measure value. It enables transactions to be split in time, separating purchase and payment and creating chains of obligations. This temporal separation is a precondition for scale and speed, but it also opens space for instability when payments fail or when liquidity dries up. Volume 2 analyzes how credit can accelerate circulation and reduce the need for idle cash holdings, yet simultaneously generate fragility as firms become dependent on ongoing refinancing and on the reliability of counterparties. The book also highlights how the necessity of maintaining money reserves is tied to the uncertain timing of sales and the need to meet payments even when commodities have not yet been converted back into money. Readers can connect this to modern concepts like cash flow management, rollover risk, and systemic contagion. The broader message is that financial arrangements are not separate from real production, but are woven into the circuit of capital. When credit expands, it can mask disproportions. When it contracts, it can force abrupt adjustments, amplifying downturns. Lastly, crisis tendencies rooted in circulation and disproportionality. While Volume 2 is not primarily a crisis narrative, its analysis reveals structural reasons capitalist economies can experience recurring disruptions. Marx stresses that capital must realize value through sale, and that realization depends on effective demand, timing, and the coordination of multiple sectors. Because production decisions are decentralized, each capitalist pursues profit without direct knowledge of the system-wide balance required for smooth reproduction. This creates a tendency toward disproportionality. Too much capacity in one line, too little in another, or mismatches between the production of inputs and the production of consumer goods. Circulation adds additional friction through turnover delays, inventories, transport lags, and payment schedules. Even when exploitation in production generates surplus value, the conversion of that surplus into money profit can be blocked by market and financial constraints. The framework helps explain why crises can appear as overproduction in some markets and underconsumption in others, or as financial breakdowns that reflect deeper real economy tensions. For readers today, these arguments provide a structured way to interpret phenomena like supply chain shocks, inventory cycles, credit crunches, and abrupt investment slowdowns. The book encourages thinking about crisis as a systemic outcome of capitalist reproduction rather than a mere accident or a result of individual mismanagement. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want to understand capitalism beyond slogans, including students of economics, sociology, history, and political theory, as well as policy professionals and analytically minded general readers. It is especially useful for anyone trying to grasp how day-to-day business realities like cash flow, inventory, logistics, and credit are connected to broader patterns of growth and instability. Volume 2 benefits a reader's life by offering a disciplined way to interpret economic news and workplace experience, turning scattered observations about shortages, layoffs, booms, and financial stress into a coherent map of causes and constraints. Compared with many introductions to Marxism or general critiques of capitalism, this volume is worth buying because it focuses on mechanisms, circuits, turnover, reproduction, and the system-wide coordination problem. That makes it complementary to mainstream accounts that emphasize markets and incentives but often underplay time, interdependence, and monetary mediation. The Penguin Classics edition also improves accessibility through scholarly editing and contextual apparatus, helping readers navigate a demanding work. For those willing to engage carefully, it provides a distinctive framework for understanding how capitalist economies keep moving and why that motion so often produces turbulence. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.